Welcome to IMTV. I'm Alan Keyes, and this is Let's Talk America. I want to start out, as usual, with a shout-out to the folks at Brighteon TV. It's the Brighteon platform that allows us to bring this unvarnished version that is subject to no interference or anything else, because they are committed to making sure that there's a platform where folks who are patriotic and Christian and have the sense of fundamental values will be able freely to share and discuss the great challenge that America faces right now. That challenge has come to a head in the course of the last several weeks and left us in kind of a parlous condition. Decided in the House, and a lot's going to depend, therefore, on the nature of the House leadership, and not so much decided in the Senate, though they're saying it has been decided. But in both cases, I think we're in an environment where what they refused to talk about when it was done to Donald Trump, they are now institutionalizing it. And I have to say, I think we're in danger of entering a mode where the people of the country can no longer count on our government being what the Constitution requires, which is to say a government of, by, and for the people, where periodic elections decide who's going to occupy the seats of power. I think it is without any doubt that our elections are now tainted. And I have to say, part of the problem is I myself am guilty of what I'm about to say, because I usually emphasize the Democrat role in this cheating. But the truth of the matter is, I think sadly, we are now dealing with an elitist faction that is quite happy to cheat if they think it's to their advantage in either party. And I would have to say that unequivocally based on my experience with primaries and other things. I think you've got a leadership on the Republican side that is not averse to tampering with things so long as it secures their power. That means that government of, by, and for the people is in serious danger. And the only way I see to remedy it is across the board, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, anybody, you must insist that elections be held to a scrupulous standard of integrity that is verified and verifiable when elections are taking place. And the silly notion that somehow or another we don't have to worry about this because elections have always been fair in America, that's such an egregious lie, I don't know where to begin. And I think everybody knows it's an egregious lie. Almost since the country started, there have been shenanigans going on at the state and local level, especially, but also involving other things, because once you get started down that road, you figure, well, it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, it's going to be good for this other one over here, and we'll be able to have the election sewn up. And in the era of the big city machines and all of this, you and I both know that cheating was rampant, and that's a historic fact. So let's wise up as a people and realize one thing. Without periodic elections that have validity as a register of the public will, government of, by, and for the people of the United States, which we're supposed to have, a Republican form of government predicated on periodic elections through which the people themselves choose those who represent, not those who rule. We don't have rulers in America, or at least we're not supposed to. We have representatives, and the ultimate ruler is the people as a whole exercising their sovereign power at every level of government in order to determine that their conscience, their character, their needs and goals will be reflected in the people who are occupying the administrative seats of power that at the end of the day are to be allocated with respect to the will of the people of the United States. Now, who really believes that's taking place now? I don't. And today I want to talk a little bit. I have the great privilege, as always, it's a privilege to me, to have Michelle Swinnick on the program. And, you know, Everything Home, I hope, heard of and watched her podcast. I would say Everything Patriotic also. Somebody who really believes in the mission of this country and in the fundamental premises that are God-endowed unalienable rights, so you have to have God, and you have to respect the obligation to do right according to God, which is made clear in the Declaration of Independence. Put those two things together, and you have a people disciplined by a sense of reverence for God's authority, who then move forward to do what kings and queens and princes used to do with all kinds of measures, cheating, violence, whatever it took, in order to impose their will. This is not the way America's supposed to be. Now, Michelle, as I think about this, I am, of course, thinking about the various things that have been going on in Arizona, and I was very anxious to talk to you a little bit about your take on the election outcome for governor. And I think that what I have been reading about as going on in the election for governor, you're not going to make me believe it didn't have an impact on the election for Senate that took place. And everybody's sitting back and quietly accepting that the results for Senate, they must be okay. I think it's all tainted. I think it all smacks of the kind of introduction of all kinds of absurd inconveniences, difficulties, all the stuff going on election day, in the midst of which they have insinuated things that allowed them to tamper with the whole balloting process, the counting process, even setting things up in such a way that they would discourage people because of the various and assorted inconveniences, the length of lines, the fact that the ballots themselves were not being properly counted, all the stuff going on that then had some people just turn away from the polls because they were sick and tired of waiting for hours in order to get their chance to vote. This is all an effort to suborn the integrity of our elections. That's what I feel. As you look at it, because you have a firsthand front seat, what is your feeling about what we've been watching? And I have to iterate before I hand the floor over to you that I've deeply admired. I think Carrie Lake did a wonderful job in her candidacy. She has been articulate, forthright, and now she's doing what I wish they all would do. She is acting courageously to defend the integrity of the vote, because without that integrity, the people of this country have lost their sovereignty. What do you think?
Not think, and it's not feel, it's called fact. Okay, yeah. So let's correct the record there, and I want everyone to hear that loud and clear. I was an election judge at the Islamic Center on election day, okay? The incidences they're alleging is a fraction of what really transpired, okay? Carrie Lake and many of the Republicans in Arizona at every level, including the whole country, won their positions, won their candidacy, won their elections. You did have a red tsunami across the country on election day, and that includes the mail-in ballots, but you also had a blue massacre of your legal vote that same election. Okay, so let that sink in for a second. And again, it's not feeling, it's facts. So you can analyze the numbers, you can see what the land inspector or the mine inspector here in Arizona, I didn't even know it was a position, got like 1.6 million, almost 1.7 million votes. Carrie Lake is like 1.2. There's a $400,000 difference. That's mathematically impossible. That's not how voting works. That's not how elections work. Okay, that's not, people don't go in there and say, I can't wait to vote for that inspector. No, they're going to usually vote for the senator, for the governor, and then down ticket is when they get a little tired and things like that. So There's so many, you can call it abnormalities or whatever word you want to use. It's fraud, people. Okay, there's fraud throughout the whole election on the numbers. You could look at the graphs and the charts, the parallels of when the votings came in. You can do that because they're all listed on our site. The Jeff O'Donnell, the raccoon guy, he's done an amazing job of setting these up. So you can look at any race across the whole country and put in which candidates you want, which race, and it'll show you. And you watch between the graphs when the votes came in on the two. It's the same pattern. It's the same one they used when they did the 51-49. Okay, we know the machines are corrupt. Machines are fraud. Again, then they have two results. One that you voted, two sets of books. This has been proven by Tina Peters in the movie Selection Code. We have the set of books of what you voted and the set of books of what's results that are reported. They're never the same. Okay, this is the whole point where they can control the elections. Remember, the entire election system is fundamentally designed to control the outcomes. And it's been like that for decades. But primarily when they brought in the machines, the HAVA Act in 2002 is when it went off the rails, because they created in 2000, Remember hanging chads in 2000, right? In 2000, it's two C's. I can't remember his name. He was in our summit that we had here in Arizona on the 1st of October. He was also a surprise guest that came on the Moment of Truth Summit that Mike Lindell did. You can watch that over at Frank's Speech. That was on the 16th, I believe, of August. So he came on. He was like the big reveal. He's the guy that was hired by a Republican, whatever, lobbyist group, whatever, to come up with an algorithm to be able to manipulate the machines so that they could control the outcome. They could determine who the winner was. And it was a 51-49 ratio. So that's what they used to use. And the algorithm, as he says, is the simplest one. It was just like 100 lines or something simple. And that's when they started controlling the machines. Okay. 2002, they did the HABA Act. It's a national act where you have to have certain certifications and things like that. But with the HABA Act, they gave, this is how they do it. People, they give a bunch of money to the states. And then they said, okay, we're going to give you all this money so you can implement these machines. But of course, there's strings attached, right? So the only good thing that they attached with the string was that there has to be some sort of certifications done with accredited labs and things like that with the machines, which is over the past couple of years, they failed to do so because that's when they really put the push onto manipulating the machines. 2016, 2018, 20, kind of been really interesting past couple of years when it comes to the elections, hasn't it? Because when they weren't expecting the turnout just for Trump back in 2016, that's when it was all planned. We know this is fact. And if you don't think it's fact, I can't help you at this point, right? Go get your booster, put your mask back on. So if you, Clinton was determined to win. The people came out to vote in droves for Trump. Then we overcame the algorithms. That's when people started talking about overcoming the algorithms and the machines. And then really in 2020. And then it went from there. Which 2018, the same things, right? The most people, not necessarily all of them won. 2020, I don't even need to rehash that. In the primaries, we could tell you right now, there's people here in Arizona that we know won. They didn't win the results. They won the election. They won the vote of the people. They did not win the results. There's no way in hell Jim Lehman lost in the primaries to Blake Masters. It's mathematically impossible based on the support he had here. Okay. So with that being said, now we have this election. So let's just take the machines and all that out of the picture. Okay. Let's just focus on procedures alone, because that's where we're going to be able to talk about how you can actually get this to be uncertifiable, because otherwise you get called an election denier. What do you mean? The voter got disenfranchised.
I think that the first thing we ought to do is stop letting them get away with routinely calling us anything that they invent. And people who then immediately start to engage in a discussion defending themselves against the charge of election denial. Nobody's denying the election. An election took place.
Right.
It was a fraudulent election.
Correct.
I'm not denying that the election took place. I am denying the integrity with which the election was handled. And then I'm also raising, of course, the issue that you're talking about, because to be quite frank about it, the first indication that this was happening in my little life, because I was kind of naive, I came when I first started involving myself in politics. I took it all quite seriously, and believed that people had some integrity. In the course of my actual involvement in electoral politics, in, of course, the primary situation, right? In the primaries. Because we won't even talk about the fact that when I ran for the U.S. Senate in Maryland, I knew it was all cheating, and everybody in the state knows it's cheating.
Yeah.
You understand? Now, it may be that the Democrats would still win solidly because of their advantages in Baltimore and so forth. But when I have people approaching me during the course of my campaign, and asking me who I am and what I'm doing. I was the Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate by that time. And I'm being approached by people in Baltimore, and we're having a chat, and they then make it very clear that they're not going to vote for me, but they're poll watchers and precinct people who are Republicans. Wow. And they have no idea who I am or what I'm doing, right? And I talk to people about that. Well, that's standard because you have the Republicans have been neglecting those areas of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats just put their people in. And so you have no check whatsoever against cheating that's going on. They don't have the faintest idea whether they got one vote, no votes, 100,000 votes in precincts where the people who are supposed to be ensuring integrity so that the Republicans don't get cheated, they don't even exist. That was my first inkling. And then later, as I participated in all kinds of things, Iowa caucuses and so forth and so on, replete with reports of how people who supported my candidacy were being ignored, their vote wasn't counted when they did the hand raising or whatever. So I started to get this impression that there's a stink hanging in the air. And of course, it came to a head when you're watching these shenanigans go on. I have the sense with my personal experience that it's not just cheating by Democrats. By the elites in this country so mm-hmm. that they are now fancying themselves to be the rulers, which is mm-hmm. what a lot of the media now call them. And we go through the sham of elections so that people won't be so prone to challenge the things that are being done, because after all, you elected these people. Right. But if they weren't really elected by you, though, what you are ending up as is slaves. Citizens of the USSR, because the USSR had elections, but at the end of the day, the little party elite determined what was going to be the outcome of those elections. They even determined who was going to be allowed to run. And when you look at the final point, what has been going on, and this is where I have to grind my axe, because I'm a particular, I just don't understand why everybody in America by now hasn't awakened to the truth about who Mitch McConnell is and what he represents. He essentially represents the surrender of the Republicans. They are now in the role that used to be held by those parties in Eastern Europe under the Soviet era. Mm-hmm. There was always, people don't know this, a lot of people don't realize that yes, the Communist Party controlled things in Czechoslovakia and Hungary and Poland and places like this when they were part of the USSR, but they had elections. And they went through the motions and so forth. And some of those elections actually resulted in support for an alternative to the Communist Party. They never won, of course, but they were always there. And then they did their level best to cooperate. You know, occasionally they would bleat a little something, sounded different than what the commies were saying. But when push came to shove, they had a compromise. They gave the commies exactly what they wanted in those countries. Doesn't that sound like what's been going on now with the so-called GOP leadership? I just can't believe in any of these people anymore. I think their key goal is to make sure the people of this country are no longer in charge.
Uh-huh. Well, I just want to say welcome to the club, Alan. I was waiting for you to come on over to our side. So welcome. And I hope that the club has hundreds of millions of people soon to join it, like as in this afternoon, because everything he's saying is right. So what we're living through now, and we have, but what's really in your face this time around is it started a long time ago, decades, but we just didn't really pay attention. We weren't seeing it, which is why it's festered and it becomes so much more infested and infestuous and incestuous as our whole system is with everything. It's not just the elections, it's everything. Remember, I always say it's the 13 bigs, big banks, big government, big pharma, big institutions, big media. It's all the bigs. There's 13 of them, right? They've literally taken over your lives. And now it's almost like they knew that they kept saying, well, you know what? These guys aren't doing anything. Because if I was them, if I was one of these big demons, right? I was one of the demons. I was the head of the GOP. Because remember, what he just said was it's the Republicans and the Democrats. It's the uniparty people. And it is the elected and selected elitists in this country. So whenever you see an R next to somebody's name, it means rhino until you prove to me you're not. So you're not Republican. I'm still waiting to meet some really good ones. You're more than welcome to call me. I would love to have you on my show. So with that being said, it's literally them versus us, because they, again, the entire election system is fundamentally designed to control the outcomes. They do not want to give up what the benefits are of being able to control those outcomes. So you are a slave. But here's the thing. you know, since we really did it, did we really do anything when they destroyed your elections, stole your vote, your sacred right to choose your quote unquote leaders? Did we really do anything in 2020? No. Well, did we do anything in 21 and 22? We didn't.
Can I stop you there for 1 second, Michelle? Because I think language matters.
Sure does.
When we go to the polls, we're not supposed to be choosing leaders. And that was one of the things always grated against me even before I got involved in politics. Why are we accepting? But that's a very different word.
No, I agree with you. I'm going to correct that moving forward.
Leaders are people who show the way.
Yeah.
But the leaders in this country are supposed to be the people themselves, because they're supposed to present again, that's represent, right? Represent what is on our hearts, minds, consciences. They're supposed to reflect our priorities. They're supposed to reflect our sensitivity in terms of the meaning of what is right and wrong under a regime that is predicated on the notion that doing right according to God, according to the endowment of God, that's the declaration, is a rubric that the people respect, and that therefore their leaders have to represent in what they do. And I think that for a long time now, they have been taking us down a road in which we have adopted, whenever I hear that word leader, I remember how it translates into German. Führer. We don't elect Führers in America.
Or czars.
That very thought makes me sick to my stomach that we have gotten so enamored of this silly language that we let them get away with this. That kind of thing means that now, de facto, they have established a regime in which what we do on election day is to ornament their frauds and their takeover of the government, which no longer corresponds to the constitutional purpose.
Brilliant. So, you know what? I usually use quotes, but we're taking out leaders, it's representatives, because they're supposed to represent the people.
We've got to take a little break here. When I get back, or when we get back, I'd like you to chat a little bit about your sense of what the priorities have to be now, starting with, and I'll probably give a little blurb about this, Carrie Lake and what we do to support people like this. We'll be right back.
Watch Uncensored Truth on Brighteon TV.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Oh my goodness, we love Brighteon TV. We are so excited that they are bringing quality content to the American public that has been starving for this stuff due to all the censorship.
I know, it's amazing how necessity is the mother of invention, and as much as we hate the censorship, it's amazing because Brighteon, things like Brighteon, come into fruition, and so we're really excited about that. We're Spiro Pictures. This is Joy, my wife, and I am Mr. Joy. I'm Matt there, and we're filmmakers, and we make what documentaries do we make, babe?
We've done Reawakening series. We've done the Trump I Know, and we have done Selection Code.
Yep. And so we're just going to sign out and say hi, bye, but we love Brighteon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at CaliKey.com with free shipping.
Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Yor Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Keyes. This is Let's Talk America. And I'm having a lively and wonderful conversation with Michelle Swinnick. Now, before we get on to anything else, and I don't know if you shared this sense, but I actually have been waiting for somebody who would be in the midst of this ongoing shenanigans and just refuse to budge. All these people who back off and act as if we're obliged to accept the reported results of an election, we shouldn't cause any stir and so forth. They are people who apparently don't care about self-government. They don't care whether the people of this country are literally disenfranchised by making a mockery of our elections, because we go and we do something, and then instead of the actual outcome, they actually present us with a mock-up, something based on what did not actually happen, and we're supposed to accept it without even bleating. We're supposed to be like sheep who just go nice nimbly to the slaughter. Carrie Lake is not going nimbly to the slaughter. She is using what I think has been demonstrated to be quite an impressive talent in terms of manipulation in a way that passionately touches not just the issues, but the hearts of the people she's talking to. And it appears that she is not going to give up, and that she's going to continue, as Donald Trump did, to insist on the truth. And the question then becomes, when you have people like that finally taking a stand, what must we do? Because I think it's now imperative, if we're to survive as a free people, it's imperative that we come together to do something to stop this utter destruction of the institution of self-government in our country.
Right. So here's the, I'm just moving my screens around a little bit. So yes, that is true. But I want to clarify too, you got to keep in mind, those people that decided to cave in is because they were either given an opportunity that was a bigger and better deal to do that. Because especially in this situation, and I mean, whether they got paid, they got promised a new job or whatever it was, they don't just go, oh, if you know that there's an issue and you can, and you have a grounds to fight for something, you do that. Otherwise, somebody got to you to have you make those decisions, or you're just a horrible, evil, demonic person that you stand for nothing and everything that you said during your campaign is a big lie. It's one of the two. There's no in between, right? Unless you rightfully lost. And right now we can tell you most people did not rightfully lose, right? Just elections over the past. But I mean, if you really got, you really did not that and you did not, and then you said, okay, that's it, I'm done, then that's fine. But I would say probably not a lot of people did. So you got to really be, and then those people go on to other things and then we still listen to them. Or maybe they become consultants or they write books or they have shows, but we still listen to them. You should not be listening to these people. This is a time at this point in your life, in history, this is literally the make or break it point for our country. If the people of Arizona and the people of this country do not stand up with Arizona and demand that we do not certify this election and get a redo, the country that you know when it comes to freedoms and everything else is gone forever. Because there is... Sure.
And people often wonder, because I've actually developed not a very high opinion of Mike Pence for various reasons, even before 2020. But leave that aside. I think it was disgraceful for him to take a stand that acted as if we should simply roll over and play dead when the question of election integrity and the validation of the integrity of that election is presented in that final analysis to the Congress of the United States. The Congress obviously existed. He must not be familiar with the debates and so forth, because the debates in the constitutional kind of presumed that there would be these kinds of problems and that it might rest with the Congress to make the decisions about the outcome. And it even happened during the Tilden Hayes business. They held up things for quite a while before they finally reached a compromise that allowed the country to move forward in that election. This was not unheard of. Now they act as if it's somehow just not to be done. It's a travesty. It's an assault on democracy and all this. No, it's not. They are the ones who are destroying the role of the people, the demos. And it's not supposed to be just because they have power. See, the kratos is a word that just means power. We're supposed to have, in point of fact, a government of, by, and for the people, which means that the people ultimately are the sovereigns. They are the ones who are to determine the rules through representatives who will faithfully represent them. Is that gone now, or can we get it back?
No, it's gone in those particular people. Because you said the word act. It's a perfect word. He was acting. Acting is what? You're playing a role, right? So it's establishment. I mean, it's gotten to the point that you have to accept that's the world you live in, the planet that you live in. That is the country. They've designed it that way. We have not been paying enough attention and giving too much credit to, maybe like Charlie Kirk. Okay, Charlie Kirk's a young guy, but right out of the gate when we lost the election, and just even recently after they called, whoever they may be, right? You call elections and they're not finished counting, not to mention you call an election when you have nefarious fraudulent activity and against numerous violations of policy, procedures, and statutes, but yet you call the election based on what they are telling you, okay? So that's where the American people have gotten so lazy or so accustomed to that we're just allowing whoever they say that happen. Like he said, well, you know what? The reason we lost is because we didn't have the turnout, and we need to figure out how to ballot harvest. You know, we got to vote harder. Hashtag 2024 vote harder. That's not a thing. That's not the problem. So you've got people that just have moved on. But why are they moving on? Because but they were so adamant for the past couple months, past 6 months, past year, you know, night by night coverage. But then all of a sudden, the day is over. Oh, well, but we move on. You can't do that, people. You can't do that. So
I raise a question? Because I cringe every time I hear the term ballot harvesting. Because at the end of the day, does the corn have any say in the harvest?
No, I think it just grows, right?
It just grows. Yeah. Harvesting is what you do. You go into the field as the gatherer, and you cut down the corn and you do what's necessary so that you can make use of the corn. The corn is passive. So if we are engaging in ballot harvesting, that means we are putting the people of this country in a passive position and imprinting them with the
control
of the elites. That's not supposed to be what's going on.
No, but that's what they want to push. That's what their big thing is in California. They say, well, then that's how they won. So we've got to duplicate that. No. You've got to change the system. So don't buy into the narrative, because that's the problem with people on our side, is that they repeat the same things the left does. And it's the wrong language, the wrong definition. So you're just playing into it. So you just go, well, you guys got it. They've hijacked the language. They've hijacked the definitions. And they've hijacked the Constitution, the morals, the values, what this whole country stands for, flipped it on its head. The world is upside down. It's backwards. It's a mirror image of God's word. And then all of a sudden, we're repeating it, not me, but the people on our quote unquote our side, which are they really on our side? And they're just repeating the narrative and then changing a little bit. And it's still repeating and giving fuel and energy to the same problem rather than saying, no, it is not about that. We need to change the system. We need to go back to the way it was. We need to go back to the fundamentals of why this country was started in the first place. And until the people on our side, our positions, our leadership, our quote unquote leaders, they're not representing us. Well, we'll just call them leaders, show hosts, blowhards like Hannity and the rest of them. They actually start being accountable for their actions and admitting it, but they can't because they're controlled by the people that are above them. Like Hannity only repeats things because he's part of that system, makes $38 million a year. So he's going to repeat whatever Fox News allows him to. So he stands for nothing. If you fall, if you stand for nothing, people, you fall for anything. So you have to stop listening to the noise that comes out of these people's mouths that is not how you really truly feel or the truth, and turn them off and stop buying their books and paying for their subscriptions, because that's what you do. You can disable the junk from your ears. And that's the first step in order to get things move forward in this country.
I think there's a relationship between the claim of standing and a lack of understanding. So I look at a lot of these talking heads and other people go back and forth with their blather. And I'm always I'm always comparing what they're talking about as if it is the key to what is actually the key according to the first premises of our founding, right? Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem is that as a preparation for what we have had to endure, I'm now thinking for the last several decades as it grew in clarity, strength, and imposition. What they were doing was shouldering aside the founding. I think we have both parties now who want to get rid of our founding premises, and a lot of people who, because they're no longer, our kids are no longer even being taught those premises.
No, they're especially
taught
in church.
A pack of lies. Mm-hmm. And even others seem to have no understanding of the unique premises that allowed for a form of government in which ordinary folks actually took charge mm-hmm. of their self-government. That had never happened before. And I now say this unequivocally. It never happened before in the history of humankind that the whole mass of the people was included in that decision-making process in a sovereign capacity. It never happened before. They can talk all they like about Athens and all of this sort of stuff. Never even came close to what was the position of the American people. But our position was predicated on a sense that, not that we were suddenly brilliant people who knew how to govern better than kings and queens and emperors and so forth and so on, though I think there's a lot of historical data which suggests that we oughtn't to be too picky about whether we are better than they are, because some of them were just downright awful most of the time. Mm-hmm. But leave that aside. I think we need to be clear, though, on what our obligations are. And I think that's part of what's been forgotten. People go to the polls, and in the course of my lifetime, I've watched as it changed from who will best represent us to who will give me this and give me that and give me the other thing. Mm-hmm. So they turned us into birds in the nest with our mouths open, waiting for them to drop something into it. And what they mostly dropped, excuse my language, was the crap that we deserve because we have abandoned our mission as people who are supposed to be thinking about how to govern this society and choosing people who will reflect our conscientious thoughts and basing that thought, by the way, not just on our whims, but on a careful understanding of what made our nation possible in the first place.
Yeah. Well, we took ourselves out of the process because we also didn't keep them accountable because we were too busy going to work and taking the kids to school and playing on Facebook and stuff. So then we moved ourselves from actually being engaged within the community and actually watching what these representatives, right, not our selected and elected elitists, the representatives who are supposed to represent us, the will of the people, and they work for us. So we took ourselves out of the mixing and, oh, they'll do it because who wants to go to a city council meeting or why should I become a precinct committee man? Or, you know, I'm not going to watch the local whatever. So then when all of the stuff really, you know, you got the first teaser in 2020 when you're like, wait, that's when I first clued in it. Like as soon as I knew something was wrong, when I realized that I'm not my polling place was not the school at the end of the street, which I usually take 3 minutes on a bike ride, go down there, talk to the old people, run my vote, put my sticker on. I'm usually 7 or 18 by the time, you know, it hits like 11 o'clock and then I go home. Then all of a sudden the night before we're talking about where we're going to go voting. And all of a sudden there's centers, these mega centers. I can go anywhere in the county to cast my vote. I'm like, okay, I've lived here for for 16 years. What do you mean? What? I didn't even know they changed it because they didn't talk about it, right? Or I wasn't paying attention, but it wasn't like a big thing, which actually turned into the biggest problem for us, the biggest solution for them to control the voting system because they centralized it.
Let me ask a question, because I think that was done with malice aforethought.
I have
always voted at the elementary school that's basically right down the street from where I live. It's like, if you walk it, I suppose, it's like 5 minutes from here, maybe a little more. Anyway, you can go. And the interesting thing about it is you're going into a polling place where you are known and you know most of the people there because they're your neighbors. They're people you have, run into in the stores or seen and this way and that and so forth. And you get used to seeing these faces year after year. Mm-hmm. But you also have a better sense of whether you're dealing with people who have integrity. This whole idea that you take people out of where they live, where they can recognize the people who are doing what's going on, into an area where these are just faces with labels that are doing what they supposedly claim is necessary, and et cetera. I think that was a whole part of the fraud-inducing process.
Not think, it's fact. It was by design in order to take the people out of the communities to put you into centralized systems so you can actually then create more chaos, more manipulation, more in control, and more fraud, because that's what they needed to happen in order to win 2020, which is the only reason why you have the political propaganda pandemic, which was the COVID. Okay, so that's all in the mail-in ballots and all that. That was all planned, all predetermined, very calculated, brilliantly, nefariously put together. And I gave them all kinds of credit for being that brilliant and nefarious. I wish they would have actually used their powers for good. But with that being said, now we have a mess that needs to be unwound. And the best part about what's happened here in Arizona is that the amount of fraud and improbabilities of what the statistics and the numbers and the polling and then the incidences, the mass amounts of maladministration and fraud, like I said, fraud, but then also disenfranchisement of the voters and the voter suppression was so huge right in your face here. It's become something now because we've been talking about it, but now we've got some credibility behind us. Now we've got incident after incident, issue after issue, that you can't look the other way. So when I'm calling out all the politicians that are here in elected office that aren't talking about this every single day, demanding that we do not certify this election because it is uncertifiable just on the procedure violations alone, not including the statutes, not including everything else, then, and they're not demanding a redo, those people need to be called out, and we need to recall them and get their rear ends right out of this office, because that means they're part of the problem and they love the fraud because it is rampant here. But we have a solution, but I need to get the call to action before we end, Alan. I have to do that.
But isn't part of the problem, looking at the Congress, for instance, and so because they're going to be involved in certification, and as in 2020, they're going to roll over and play dead. It's
quite
obvious.
I'm talking local. I'm talking local.
I know you're talking local.
Yeah, right now that's all you can focus on is Arizona.
I think we are in a situation where if our leaders at every level don't find the courage to say no and to take that stand, no matter what brickbats of propaganda and junk are thrown at them, and I think the only way they're going to do it is if the people at the grassroots organize vocally and demonstratively to second the motion of their courage. Isn't that the essential? We now have to realize that if order is to be restored and decency restored to our elections, we must stand up and be the ones who are essentially organizing to demand that.
Right. And that's what we're doing here in Arizona. And I can tell you it worked, because when Cochise County decided to originally do the hand count, it was because of the original campaign we put together in digital form, in phone form. But we also had people on the ground, and then we had individuals on their own showing up and talking to them and putting pressure on them to say, this is what we want. We want to get rid of these machines. We do not like the system. And they told me that the reason why that they ended up voting is because they knew they had the support of the people. They normally get about 4 dozen phone calls. They got 2,200 because everybody started to stand up for themselves. They started showing up and they started doing their role as the citizen. So we're doing it again now, and it's working. And I'm going to give you exactly what's going on. So I want people to give me a full shot there, Hunter, so I can get this in. So I want you to go to to savemyfreedom.us, save my freedom, trying to get it straight, .us. Now, this is a Substack that I started. Now, what this is, it contains the campaign for the one-click email all campaign. Now, like one-click email all campaign, you click on it, takes less than 2 minutes a day. Basically, what it's saying is that you want the election not to be certified. It is literally uncertifiable at so many levels that I don't have enough time to go into it in one show. But you can watch any of the shows and the videos that are listed on this Substack. Then you're going to, we want to make sure we get the election redone. This is an email and a petition that goes out to 110 different Arizona elected officials, these county supervisors, the board of supervisors, the election directors, the attorney general, sheriffs. So there's a whole long list. You could see all their information. So you fill that out. You fill it out, put your information because they need to know you're a real person. You click on it. It goes email, goes petition. It gives you their phone number so you can call them and tell them what you think. And it also gives you an automatic posting for Facebook, Twitter, and for Telegram. And I am encouraging everybody in the country to do this. And you don't have to live in Arizona because it's a numbers game right now. You do it every single day. You do it once a day. Tell 10 of your friends. And I'm telling you, this is working because within the first 80 hours, we launched it on Friday, we had 450,000 people clicking. So that means they got 450,000 emails in their inbox. The only reason that Mark Brnovich, the attorney general, wrote a letter bringing up all of these different things that happened is on the 19th, which is 11 days after the election, when we knew that these problems existed, and we were all talking about it, including me, on this very platform, Tuesday night of the election. The only reason he did it 11 days later is because there's a lot of American people, good people like you, who want their country back, and you did this campaign. So somebody went in his office, and by Saturday morning, in about 12 hours, he had at least 250,000 emails in his box giving him procedural issues that were clearly violated in statutes. And that's why he wrote that letter on the 19th, because the voice of the people works when the voice of the people is heard. So I implore you, I'm asking, I am begging everybody in this country to do this, because if Arizona does not get this rectified, the country is done as you know it. A boots on the ground campaign on Wednesday or Friday and Saturday. We actually are going to doing the overpasses. There's certain locations, all the information.
And around the country will be instructed by it, and that you'll join in the effort just to get a little practice so you can get the feel.
We could do it for you around your the state. Country. But let's just focus
you
here.
Then focus on Arizona. It makes a difference there. I think this is going to be something that will awaken people because it needs to happen everywhere. The elections have been so clearly tampered with, as in a lot of these key swing states where they won elections they shouldn't have even had a look in for, and they're claiming they did. So take action. Rewatch that section of this and get busy. We'll be back after this.